You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com, and I am joined by my colleague, Corey Brock, who covers the Padres for MLB.com, and we are at that point in the season. Well, I keep saying this every week, but until the season's over, I'm going to keep saying it. We're at that point of the season where the games are dwindling down and the calendar is flipping to October, and some of the teams that aren't so much in the division race are starting to look toward next year, or maybe their golf games in November or their off-season home. Whatever they feel like doing, the Padres are almost finished. But they do have some games to play, and they can play spoiler for some of these contending teams in the NL West. And there have been some interesting things that have been going on with the Padres lately. So let's bring in Corey Brock. Corey, being a Houstonian, I was laughing very loudly at some of the game coverage that the – and I realized that San Diego is – there is some severe weather, some severely hot weather. But I think it was like 81 degrees last night, and everyone was freaking out because there was humidity. This would be, of course, an open roof game in Houston. Everyone would be celebrating the break in temperature. But this was a little bit unusual, I guess, for the fans and for the Padres to be playing in such high temperatures, would you say?
I'm always careful, Allison, about complaining about the weather here, just because realizing that, you know, how good we have it here. But, yeah, this is kind of an we've been in this extreme heat wave, I guess. And, of course, the ballpark is sitting next to a large body of water known as the Pacific Ocean. So if it's not cool down there, it's not cool anywhere. So, it's been pretty warm. But, you're right, probably – you have this weather in Houston. People are trying to figure out what kind of a sweatshirt they should bring to the game or blanket, thinking at some point they're going to be kind of cool. But, people are babies here. Let's just go ahead and just come right out and say it, that when this happens, people are babies. So, no, it's been a little uncomfortable, but people will get through it somehow. And in January, when they're wearing flip-flops and barbecuing outside, they'll have a nice laugh about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we should all have those problems to have to suffer through this. But, hey, it's something to talk about. So, so Andrew Cashner, I found this very interesting. So he basically has a no-hitter going until the fifth inning. And there was a situation where Dominic Brown, so he bunts with one out down the third baseline. There's a no-hitter going on. So maybe normally in past years, this would be a little bit of a controversy, or he would, you know, that Cashner would maybe have a beef that there was a bunt attempt to get that first out of the game. But now in this, modern day of shifting, I think it's a little bit different. Well, it's a lot different, and you really can't dictate anymore. So he basically pushes a bunt where there's nobody standing because there was a heavy shift on Brown and everybody was lined up on the right side of the infield. So Bud Black had no problem with it. Cashner seemed to have a few issues with it. But where do you stand on that? What was your reaction when you heard about that?
Yeah, I think it's all fair game. You're right, Allison, in this era that we're living in now with these extreme shifts. And if you have to understand that if you're going to do that and knowing that the pitcher is going to pitch to the shift, I think we have to understand also that, the extreme infield alignment, you're going to see the pitcher also has to execute his pitch and has to pitch to the shift, meaning that if you're going to slant one way or the other with your infielders, your pitcher's not going to pitch the other way and make it easier for the hitter. So he has to pitch to a certain point. And it's a very tight game too. I think that's an added component to this. You know, mm-hmm. if this is an 8-0 game, maybe the Padres are looking at things a little differently. But, the Phillies, and sure, they're out of it too, like the Padres, but, they're trying to win a game here, and they're trying to get something going, trying to get some base runners. So, I think in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal. So, trying to get a base runner on, trying to start something, trying to beat the shift. And if you're going to give me that room over there, I'm going to try and exploit it.
Yeah, and I think there was an incident earlier in the season with Houston, which is what kind of sticks out of my mind, but just This whole like thing about the unwritten rules and losing your mind, I mean, you know, respecting this and that. I mean, I think that's going to go out the window because, I mean, if I'm a left-handed hitter in the major leagues and there's a gaping hole over there and they're all standing where I normally hit the ball, I'm pushing a bunt down there. I really don't care what the situation is. I really don't care if my team is up 8-0 and it's the seventh inning. I mean, just like we do not have to play into your rules. Like we don't have to hit into your shifts. And you're doing everything possible because really, if the differential, which, I mean, this was not the case with the Padres, but just theoretically speaking, if there's a huge differential in the score, then why are you shifting anyway? And so I think over time, we're going to see some of this like completely go away, like kind of this unwritten rule thing, which I can't wait. I will celebrate the day that nobody ever mentions another unwritten rule in baseball.
Well, and it's true. And I think you hit on a good point there, Allison. You know, if you're going to accept the responsibility of, okay, we're going to undertake this kind of quirky defensive alignment here because you've shown through, advanced scouting, we've done our homework here, and that more often than not, you're going to hit the ball on, let's say, the right side of the infield, and we're going to stack our infielders over there. If you beat us the other way, if you find a way to push the ball through the left side, then you beat us. You beat us fair and square, and you have to understand that there's a flip side to this, and that you've left yourself very vulnerable on the other side there. And I just don't think you can get upset about that.
Yeah, and if I'm a hitter, I mean, they're team players, but their individual numbers do mean something. And I'm just not really going to want a 250 average if I can hit 275. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. You know, these guys. They have contracts to work for and livelihoods to work for, and so I'm doing whatever I can to get my hits, even if I have to do it unconventionally. But on a happier note, I mean, Cashner, wow, what an outing. So, I mean, he had missed 2 months with a sore arm, and he's still kind of pushing through those kinds of things. This is his fifth start back after missing all that time. So that had to be encouraging just from the Padres' standpoint to see this going on this late in the season with someone that they're depending on.
Yeah, I think a big development for them, Allison. He talked about, you know, he had two disabled-less stints this year, a shorter one with a sore elbow and then kind of a longer one with kind of a sore right shoulder, you know, no structural damage at all, but, you know, just gave him some time. And he's been very good since he came back. And, you know, he talked really about the importance of making each one of these starts count when he came back, even though we're into these dog days now where the Padres are kind of playing out the string here, but you know, don't tell that to him. You know, he wants to finish strong and kind of use this as a springboard into next season. You know, this is a guy that, you know, they're really going to lean heavily on moving forward. The guy with dynamite stuff. If we go back to the month of April, you know, 2 weeks into the season, this guy throws a one-hit shutout against the Tigers at Petco Park. You know, a guy with dynamite stuff, and when you pair him with Tyson Ross, who took a huge step forward this year in a developmental standpoint, and Ian Kennedy, who is very good, this is a very good rotation. You know, the Padres' shortcoming, Allison, as we've discussed over and over again, certainly are injuries and underperformance, especially offensively, but there's nothing wrong with those top three in the rotation. So they're very excited about Andrew Cashner, what he has to offer. And they still feel like this is a guy, you know, who is still kind of scratching the surface, kind of like with Tyson Ross, of what he can be as a starter. You know, this guy was a reliever with the Cubs, kind of like with Ross was, you know, he kind of shuttled back and forth between the rotation and the bullpen with the A's, and is still kind of growing as a starter and is still kind of learning how to use all his pitches, save a few of his bullets, refine a few of his pitches. So a very exciting development last night, especially for how efficient as he was. 92 pitches over 9 innings, that's very exceptional.
So if you had to pinpoint one thing, which is an unfair question, but I'm asking it anyway, looking at the Padres in the offseason and heading into spring training next year, if there's one major thing that they absolutely have to do, they absolutely have to address, that can be the biggest difference maker for next year's team, what should be their number one priority?
Well, it has to be offense. They have to find a way to they have to find a way to bolster their offense. And, you know, there's not one specific area, I guess you can look at that as a good or bad thing, where they need to find some upgrades. You know, maybe find some power for the corners, first and third base. You could find some for the outfield. What do you do with Everett Cabrera at shortstop? You know, Rene Rivera is a nice story behind the plate at catcher, especially defensively. I think they're fine there. But, you know, their position players, their everyday position players, they need upgrades there. And I'm not quite sure how they're going to go about doing that. You know, remember now we have the Padres here have a new general manager in A.J. Preller, and, you know, he's been on the job for just a little over a month now and had a chance to kind of evaluate not just the major league roster, but the farm system, which isn't quite ready to, you know, produce anything in terms of help on the way for next year for position players. So, you know, I think what's going to happen, and I was just going on and on about how wonderful the starting pitching was, Allison, with Ross, Cashner, and Kennedy. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they parted with one of those guys in order to find themselves an offensive upgrade. You know, the Padres are never going to be a team that dabbles really heavily in the free agent market. You know, it's awfully spendy. That's a lot of, you know, talk about risk reward in terms of how much you have to give up, especially on the back end of some of these contracts. I think it's just the cost is a little bit too steep for them. I think they may have to part with something in order to find some offensive upgrades. So it's been interesting for me to kind of watch these last few weeks here and see a lot of young guys come up and, you know, try and figure out, are these guys going to be part of the big league roster for next year? And I have a feeling that 25-man roster, especially the 13 position players or whatever it will be, is going to look far different than it does right now.
Well, we'll keep our eye on it. But first, we have to finish out this season. It could get very interesting for the Padres if they want to play spoiler, because they have a ton of games left against the Giants. So we will keep our eye on that. And thank you, Corey. We'll talk to you next week.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.